That was wonderful. And it is great to be here again. My name is Tom Trexler. I'm with the Gideons here in Rock Hill, and I guess I'm the official introducer of the Gideon speakers, as this is my fifth year in a row doing this, and it is with great pleasure to be able to introduce our speaker today. But first, I want to give a special thank you to this church. First Baptist, over the last 5 years, has given the funds to allow the Gideons to place over 30,000 copies of God's Word. That's amazing. 30,000 copies of God's Word. And you're going to hear testimonies today of people's lives who have been changed by that Word. And Jesus' last words were in Acts 1:8 as he commanded us, you know, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem. This Rock Hill is our Jerusalem. And so the scriptures that you have helped us to be able to place one-on-one have gone right here in Rock Hill. But he also told us to go out into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And many of those 30,000 plus copies of God's Word have gone literally to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I just want to thank you for that. And I have the pleasure, like I say, of being able to introduce our speaker today. Kevin Fuller has traveled over 10,000 miles to be with us. He lives in Geelong, Australia, and he is at the southernmost tip of Australia, as far south as you can get. So he is a true southerner. You know, he speaks a little different than our southern English, but I think you're going to really enjoy it. Kevin has been married to his wife, Anne. They will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary next year, and I'm just here to remind him of that because he did forget their 40th. But I'm sure he'll remember this one. It's awfully special. He is married. They have a child, Paul, and two wonderful, wonderful grandchildren. Paul is married to Jackie. He has been a Gideon for 40 years. He is the former international president of the Gideons. As international president, he had the responsibility of leading 300,000 Gideons and their wives who serve on your behalf, handing out the Word of God in 194 different countries. And he's been to many of those 194 countries personally. He most recently was chief executive officer of Helix Steel Australia. After being CEO, he has sold that company and stayed on as a consultant. And he's a member of Central Baptist Church there in Clifton Springs. But what sets Kevin apart from anybody I have ever heard in the Gideon ministry is his incredible passion. He has this incredible passion for the lost. He is loved all over the world. I know you're going to love him after you have an opportunity to hear him share not what he has done or what we have done with the Gideons, but what God is doing through this ministry to get his word out to a lost and dying world. Kevin?
Thank you, bless you. How great is our God? Amen? We've come this morning. First of all, let me say thank you to Pastor Hogg for giving us the privilege of being able to come and share with you what God is doing through this organization called the Gideons International. You are great supporters of the Gideon ministry, and your pastor is exceptional in his support of this work. We are partners together. The Gideons is just the extended arm of your church, and so we want to have more members from your church involved with Tom and Michelle in the Gideon work here in your city. But we've come this morning to report to you because you are partners with us in this work. And we've come to inform, inspire, encourage, and to challenge you. You know, and I hope before I've finished today, you are very uncomfortable in your seat and that you are stirred up to action to do something about the needs of this world, which is an angry, ugly place today. In Acts 1:8, as Tom just shared with us, these are our marching orders. In Matthew 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what Jesus requires of us. And brothers and sisters, there is a hunger and thirst for the word of God around the world today that is insatiable. We cannot satisfy the demand for the Word of God. It is unbelievable. And you know, as you go and hand out scriptures, we have to say to young people like you've just seen there, we don't have enough to give you. We will come back. You know, this year we'll distribute 84 million copies of the Word of God. We've just passed 1.7 billion. In 2001, I was involved in placing and ordering the 1 billionth scripture placed by the Gideons. And we were to go and present it to President Bush on 9/11. And that was obviously put off. So in October 2002, we went and presented your president with the 1 billionth copy there in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. And, you know, this book, this is what the Gideon ministry is about. The Gideons have one objective, and that is to win others to Christ through the distribution of the word and personal witnessing. But let us remember what we have here. This is the precious, powerful, life-changing, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. This is truth. Young people, if you want to know what the truth is, here is truth. This is truth. This is the word of God written one time by men under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit for all people of all generations, of all nations. You won't hear the truth on the television anymore. You won't even hear the truth necessarily in the schools anymore. You don't hear the truth in the courts anymore. You don't hear the truth from our politicians anymore. We don't know what the truth is anymore. But here is truth. And listen to what you are being told about what this book says. It's the foundation of your life. And you know, there are people around the world today that don't have the opportunity to receive a copy of this word. How do they know what the truth is? The Apostle Paul in Romans 10 says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can they believe in him if we haven't given them the opportunity? God is the only hope for Africa today. Every nation in the continent of Africa today is in turmoil, somewhere between independence and genocide. In human terms, there is no hope for Africa. I don't know how you would fix Africa. And I want to give you, I was in a letter team to Mali in Africa just before Christmas this past year. And so we want to share with you as an example of what the work of the Gideons is, the impact of the Word of God, and what the need of Africa is today, so that they might have the opportunity to receive this precious word. Now, Mali is on the left-hand side. It's the light yellowy colour there, and the capital city is Bamako. My wife said to me, Kevin, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Mali. And she said, she doesn't like me going to Africa, actually, because oftentimes it's very difficult. She said, where is Mali? And I said, I think it's an island in the Pacific. I wasn't lying, I just didn't know. And then I went onto the internet and found that it is in the middle of the Sahara Desert in North Africa. You couldn't really get much further away from the ocean than what we were. And, you know, as we went there with the word of God for the people of Bamako, 1.8 million people in this city, in this country, that is just all dust. There's no natural assets. The people live in unbelievable poverty and hardship. And we went there with the word of God. We went there as partners with you in this work. Let me give you a bit of a snapshot. Life in Mali is hard. It's extremely hard. This man here in that beautiful costume that you'll see, he's about 6'6". When he walks into a room, you can feel his presence. His name is Yohana Koulibaly. And he is a Gideon. He's a primary school teacher. He has three adult children, three adult sons, a wife, and none of them have any work. He is the sole income producer for his family. I went past his home one day. It is just on a piece of dust made of mud rocks, mud bricks. It is the least possible place that you could possibly put human beings in. But Yohana Koulibaly was there the day I arrived at the airport at Bamako. He was there every morning at 5:30 to pray with us. He worked with us every day distributing the word of God until 9 o'clock at night. And he was there when I left to fly out of Bamako. the faithfulness of these men and women in these countries to do whatever is necessary to get the word of God out to their people is unbelievable. You know, the ground there is so dusty. There's just sand, there's micro dust that just fills your breathing passages, that just flies in the air, you can't see it. I was there for a week and my nose was bleeding just from the dust that is there. It's so dry. These people live in this every day. The smog from the fires where they're cooking, the fumes from the vehicles. It's just unbelievable. You know, they have no money. We paid for everything. We were very happy to do that. We paid for the petrol to go in the cars. We provided the water and the food that they might be able to work with us because, you know, there are three Gideon groups there. Many of them couldn't leave their jobs because they had to be there. Mali has 14 million people. The capital is Bamako. Only 4% of the land is arable land. You can only grow something in 4% of the whole landmass of this country. And 80% of the population earn an income from that 4% of the land. They will just grow vegetables. You know, the whole thing is to get enough today to live till tomorrow. So many of them are live on less than $1.25 a day, which is the United Nations line for poverty. Can you imagine going to the supermarket today and buying something under $1.25? 90% of them are Muslim, 1% Christian. 47% are under 14 years of age. Half the population is under 14 years of age. The death rate after 14 years of age is just incredible. They have the third highest birth rate in the world. Every young woman, every girl has a baby. They have the 14th highest death rate in the world. They have 6.44 children per female, which is the third highest in the world. Infant mortality is the fourth highest in the world. They've got all the world records for the worst things. And the reason for their death is totally solvable. It's not AIDS. It is disease from waterborne and foodborne disease. It's disgusting. When you go there and you say, what is wrong with our world? What is wrong with the leaders of these nations? Doesn't anybody care? They need the seed. They need the seed. They need the word of God. They need to know that there is hope. Our spiritual theme for this blitz was taken from Joshua chapter 1. When you go home today, read that first chapter of Joshua. It is incredible. God called Joshua on the death of Moses to lead his people of Israel to the promised land. And God gave Joshua some assurances, some promises. They are incredible. In verse 3, every place your foot will tread, I will have been before you. I've given you. And in verse 5, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Every place your foot will tread, I'll have been before you. And when you go out in God's service, when you are witnessing to somebody, remember today, every place your foot will tread, he will have been before you. The Holy Spirit will have prepared the way. No man can stand before you when you are in the service of the Lord. As he was with Moses, so he will be with you and me and all the faithful people that follow him around the world. When I arrived in Bamako, I was distressed. There was no organization, which normally is with Gideon's. It's so organized, but for some reason it just wasn't. All the schools, all the high schools had been closed because the teachers hadn't been paid. They were on strike. The government had closed down the university because of student activism in the university. Only a few of the Gideons could come and work with us. There were no prior arrangements made for the distribution of scriptures for teams to be organized to go out. No arrangements for the access to the military. I had taken a Bible to present to the president, and we couldn't get to the president. So when our international team arrived, and I was very mindful of the fact that they pay their own cost to come, to fly all the way around the world, some from America, Britain, Sweden. They flew there at their cost to come and work. And so we are in this Muslim country, no arrangements, no nothing, terrible circumstances. And I thought, what do you do when you're in that situation? Of course, you turn to the Lord. And so I said, we're going to pray and pray and pray and pray. And we contacted our international headquarters, now headquarters in Australia, and we contacted our wives, and we just said, will you pray that God somehow will do a miracle? We were to distribute 50,000 copies of the Word of God like this in their language, in French. I thought, Lord, if we get 5,000 out, we'll be doing really well. But God answered our prayers. On the Sunday, we went into the churches. We shared with them like we are with you because they're partners with us in this work. We'd say to them, if you invest even the smallest coin, you're a partner with us. If you pray, you are sharing with us in this ministry. Will you prepare the way for us? Pray that God will open the doors. They were very excited. On Monday morning, we started the distribution Monday to Friday. And to my surprise, at 9:30, when I went back to the hotel, everybody is there. I said, what are you doing back here? And they said, we're finished for the day. I said, and I was mindful of these men that come to work from all over the world. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to divide Bamako up into five parts. And I made five teams. I put a young Gideon, a young Malian Gideon in charge of each place, each part. I said, okay, you go out and you take all the scriptures you need, and you just find the approved areas where we can distribute scriptures in the highways, strategic locations of life in this city, in your area, and don't come back till dark. And so they went. And suddenly God just opened doors. It was amazing. And as we know, God's word does not return unto him void. And remember, this is a Muslim country. And you will see here a few pictures of where we went in to make distributions, into the schools and the hotels. And we had access. Suddenly the Gideons found that we could go into schools. They found private schools that where teachers had gone out, set up a business, and they'd gone in and set up this school. And these principals are inviting our Gideons to come in, not just to distribute the scriptures to the students, but to go into the classrooms. Now, I know it's very difficult to even get into a classroom in the United States of America and increasingly in Australia. And we are in a Muslim country where 90% of the people are Muslim, and we are in there speaking to these young people, and they are accepting the word of God virtually 100% every time. I mean, it was just absolutely miraculous. And when you see these young people jammed into these classes, and you know they're getting an education, but there's no hope after they've finished their education. And as we went to into one class, Grady Phillips, whom some of you will know, who comes from this area, he asked one of the teachers if he would come and be an interpreter for him as they went around and in the classroom. So he goes to the first classroom and he says, he hands out the testaments. Tell them that it's a gift, it's free, that there's no obligation to take one, but everybody took one. And they said, are there any questions? And a student stood up and said, sir, what is the significance of this book? Isn't that a great question? So Grady asked him through the interpreter to turn to the back of the Testament, and on the top there's a verse, it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Would you read that? And so he read it. But he didn't stop there. He read every other verse and all the things about the plan of salvation, how you can pray to receive Jesus Christ. And they went on to the next class. Same question again. Sir, what is the significance of this book? And Grady said, turn to John chapter 3. So they showed them in the Testament how to go to John chapter 3. Let's read the first 18 verses. So they asked students to read one verse each. Then another student gets up and says, "Sir, what does it mean in verse 18 by condemnation?" These are good questions, right, for Muslims. And so Grady explained to them what it meant about condemnation, about to be saved. And when they walked out of the classroom, Grady said to this young man there that was with him, the interpreter teacher, he said, "Have you considered giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ?" I mean, what could he say after all that he just heard? He said, "I have." He said, "Would you like to give your life to the Lord Jesus today?" He said, "I would." And Grady said, "Now stop a moment. This is serious. You need to understand the consequences, because this might mean that you will be separated from your family. It might cost you your job. It might even cost you your life. That may be the price that you have to pay. But if you would like to invite Jesus into your life, I will pray to you with you to receive him right now." He said, "I would." So Grady Phillips knelt there with that young man as he invited the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. Amazing. Just amazing. We're in a Muslim country. We're in a classroom. Everybody received the scriptures. The young man that was the interpreter was a Muslim. He walks outside the classroom, decides he's going to give his life to Christ, and he kneels and invites Jesus into his life. How amazing. The power of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So we went on from there. We got access to all the military. We get a phone call to say the commander of the military forces will receive you. So we're in, and we get permission to be able to distribute the Word of God to every member of the military forces in the whole of Mali. We get the opportunity to go and meet with the president. Get a phone call that says the president would be pleased to receive you. And so I go to meet with the president of this country and offer him a copy of the Word of God. He's just come back from his first pilgrimage to Mecca, and here I am presenting him with a copy of the Word of God. And, you know, on the way out, we were on national television, which I only found out when we were there, and I said to him, "Mr. President, thank you for allowing freedom of religion in your country. It's a true sign of democracy." And I said it again as I was being interviewed outside. And as we were walking out, this big man's coming in, and everybody shakes hands with everybody. He's got a big robe on and a white hat, and I shook hands with him and I went out. And this Gideon that was with me said, "Kevin, do you know whose hand you just shook?" And I said, "No." He said, "He's the chief mullah of all the Muslims in Mali, and he's not happy." And he said, "The reason he's not happy is I think it's because of us." I just said to the president, "Thank you for allowing freedom of religion. We have brought the Word of God to the people of Bamako, and we are distributing it. They are receiving it." Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The result is that from my expectation to distribute 5,000 copies, we distributed 60,000 copies of the Word of God. We never got under 10,000 copies any day. I mean, when these teams were coming back at night and we were sharing, and we just look at the totals going up, I say, this is unbelievable in a Muslim country. How can this be? Only God could do this. It's amazing. He answered our prayers just like he did for Joshua. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the big challenge for all of us. You know, this is just a litmus example of what goes on in Africa today. And I look at the whole of Africa and I say, who cares? Who cares? Does anybody care? The rulers of these nations, the leaders of these nations don't care. They don't care about their people. Power and money has just corrupted all of the leaders of the whole of Africa, including South Africa today. You cannot fix Africa. No man can fix the problems of Africa. Only God can resolve the problems of Africa. Who cares? Do you care? Do you care that people are dying, that half of the population is under 14 years of age in countries like this? Like in Namibia, the life expectancy is 29 years. You go to a school out in the middle of nowhere where they gave us the longitude and latitude coordinates of the schools. We travel out there. There's a school of a couple of hundred young students, and there's a cemetery alongside, and it's full of graves of young people from 13 to 30 years of age, just buried in the sand. Fresh graves. Disgusting. Disgusting. Who cares? Do you care? I care, and I believe you care. But there's somebody who cares more than all of us put together. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died for everyone. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all who call upon him. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Malian, whether you're Namibian, whether you're South African, whether you're American, Australian, king, prince, pauper, black or white, yellow, whatever, whosoever. How do you tell these people you love them? How do you change Africa? We need to reach the young people, the next generation. We need to give them hope. You know, it must be the worst feeling in the world to have no hope. And these people have no hope, but we can give them hope. Do you believe that? The Gideons in your congregation and congregations like yours working together to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to flood Africa with the gospel. Not the news, not the food, not the power, not the money, the word of God. It's the only answer. And we have the power in our hands to do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Brothers and sisters, it is true. The power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus told us that we are to be witnesses to Him unto the uttermost. You know, how can we sit and be comfortable when this challenge lies before us and these things are happening in our world? We need to get up and get alive and move. You know, I see the Mormons, they're everywhere. I see the Hindus, they're everywhere. I see the Seventh-day Adventists, they're everywhere. I see the Muslims, they're everywhere. And I say, where are we? Where is the Christian church? Who is the Christian church? It's you and me. It's us. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are their only hope through Jesus Christ. And so we invite you to pray for this organization called the Gideons International. For no other reason than that's what we need to do to make it work. You will read about the Gideon Bible program on the brochure that you've been given today. We need men. As I challenge you at the beginning, if you are a born again business or professional man, we want you and your wife to stand with us to do this work. We don't want to separate you from your church. We just need you to stand with us as part of your Christian outreach. It will strengthen you. It will make you stronger in the faith. It will put your words and actions into more action. And finally, this morning, I challenge you to give. Every cent you give us, we will take, convert into scriptures, and we will take it unto the uttermost parts of the earth, put it in a container, send it across the seas, put it on a train or a transport, take it to the city of Bamako or the likes. The Gideons and the Xeria will come there. We'll take them out of the containers and we will go and distribute each one of them personally to every person that wants a copy. Isn't that a good deal? Make an investment today for eternity. You know, these people have no hope. But when they have Jesus Christ in their lives, they have richness and meaning and fulfillment and hope. And you can give it to them today. You can make a difference. Send them the seed. You have an incredible warehouse of seed. Empty it and send it to the people of Africa today. God bless you.